We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code FITNESS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.
Moncrief on News Talk.
The next census is in 2027 and will feature a number of innovations. For the first time, it'll be possible to answer the questions online. Well, it also will include some new questions, including ones on sexual orientation and gender identity. Is this a good idea? Pádraig Rice is health spokesperson for the Social Democrats. Good afternoon, Pádraig.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Do you think it is a good idea?
Yeah, I welcome this decision. I think it's really important. I think it's important for inclusion and diversity. I think LGBT people have been a hidden part of our census population data, and that population now become visible once we start gathering that data. And we can start to measure some of the inequalities experienced by the community, and it gives us a much better sense of the community, and we can prepare planning for services and other measures.
Yeah, but in terms of parsing out what inequalities they might be suffering from, can the census tell us that?
Yeah, so census data is really important. It's the only population-wide survey of the entire population that gathers data about all of our lives and how we live our lives and the various parts of our lives. But also, the census has a knock-on effect for other data collection done by the state. So the questions used in the census are often used in household surveys or other state research. So that's why I think it's really important that we include this data. Up to now, sexual orientation is the only equality ground not covered in the census data. So the Equal Status Act has 9 grounds: age, religion, disability, all of those grounds we capture data on. And up until this point, we don't capture data on sexual orientation. Mm. And it's just completely invisible population then in that data. But we do know from research on a smaller level, there is health inequalities and there is disparities in life outcomes. Like mental health is an example. There's research from Trinity that shows young LGBT people are 2 times more likely to self-harm, 3 times more likely to attempt suicide, and 4 times more likely to have severe depression and anxiety because of the discrimination and the homophobia and the transphobia they face on a daily basis. But I think it's important that the state captures this kind of data as well and measures these health inequalities and other inequalities, and then puts, what's crucial, I think, is that they then put measures in place to tackle some of these things and deliver a more equal society for all of us.
Yeah. Now, because there will be questions on mental health, for instance.
So the state does gather different data outcomes on different areas and well-being questions. And also the census is evolving. So questions are added, and at different times we have different questions in our census. So this is a longer term piece over the longer term. And for the last 100 years, we haven't been gathering this data on the LGBT community. Yeah. I think it's really important that we do. But there are, I suppose, some concerns there that we need to address as well. Like confidentiality is one. People may not be out at home if they're living home with their family or not be out to their spouse or their children. So I think it's important that we have it done at individual level. And the move to online is welcome, that hopefully we can do online individual census data returns. But also there is a concern.
Is that the plan here, though, or is it still? Because the model has been up to now, one person fills it out on behalf of everyone.
Yeah, it's one I think the CSO should consider is individual level census data returns. And I don't think a decision has been made on that, but I think it's one that they should consider. And they also do need to do some work with the community, because there are older members of the community who have a mistrust of the state because of the legacy of criminalisation. Mm. Up until 1993, it was a crime to be gay in Ireland. And there are many older men in particular who may be reluctant to disclose that information. And I think the CSO needs to do some research on this and needs to work with the community and to explain how it's going to capture the data, how it's going to store the data, and how it'll be used, and the benefits of it as well for the longer term.
Yeah, because but one could perhaps argue that, and while it'll be fascinating to collect data on the LGBT community, it mightn't give you a definitive answer. If there's a question in there about, have you ever suffered from depression, and a higher than average number of LGBT people in the census say that they have, that might be correlation rather than causation.
Yeah, but I suppose, as I say, it is a starting point and it is important for inclusion. And the OECD have said it's a prerequisite to inclusion to have these questions in there. So it is really important. And it does then lead to knock-on research that the CSO can do or other state bodies can do to dive deeper into these issues and see what are the particular issues. Like we know in terms of physical activity, for example, 55% of gay and bi men aren't active enough to maintain good health compared to 33% of straight men. So there are these disparities, these differences in health outcomes and life outcomes that I think are really important to measure and then to tackle, which is the crucial bit ultimately to address. The other challenge I think, and it's important to address, is around accuracy. This will take a number of cycles to gather the full data that we need and the accuracy, because we do know there is generational differences amongst Gen Z and millennial. Much higher levels of people are willing to share this information compared to boomers and older people. And we see this in other countries. So it will take a bit of time to cycle through. So I think this is a 15, 20 year project to gather accurate data. And when we do the analysis of the first set of data, I think that caveat is really important, that not everybody is going to share this information. Mm-hmm. And it may take some time before everybody is happy to share that information. And I think that's one that's crucial in our data analysis.
Yeah, because you could see how people might be a bit nervous now that it's gone online, and that it remain anonymized. And you'd have to really, really comfort people that, and not just even people in the LGBT plus community. Lots of people might have that worry.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's really important now that CSO does that work early on. I've called for a research project next year to find out what the issues are and then address them. We have 2 years here now to iron out any of these issues, iron out the concerns and address those in advance of this. But I do think it is a really welcome step forward. But we do have to get it right, and we do have to address the various concerns that are there amongst the community, ensure that it's done well. But I do think this is really important for the long term, and I do think it's progress that we're willing to measure this for the first time ever, and that we're willing to highlight that data there. And a population that, as I said, was invisible will now become visible, and I think that's really important.
Yeah. How will they ask the question? Is that known?
So they did a sample. They have been testing these questions in household surveys over the last year or two. So before they rushed into the census question, they did a sampling model of it. So they have some questions that they have used in other surveys. So it'll ask you your sexual orientation, gay, lesbian, bi, and prefer not to say, potentially an option there as well. So they have done this in other levels. So I think it's one that is there. And we know what happens in other countries as well, just to reassure people, like England and Wales had it, Ecuador, New Zealand. So there is around the world, other countries who are also doing this. And what we've seen from their data is some of the inequalities. Like in the US, for example, during COVID, they asked questions around food security, loss of jobs, and they found that LGBT people were more likely to lose their jobs during COVID, higher levels of food insecurity and other economic outcomes, more likely to be in precarious jobs. So there are those inequalities that people might not be aware of. That hopefully with better data from the CSO, we can start to measure these things and start to address them and tackle them and deliver a more equal society and ensure full inclusion for everybody.
Yeah, but it will probably be you'll have to tick a box because it, within gay, straight, bi, prefer not to say, you could say you're asexual. There are many other options, and the same, even a longer list of things would apply when it comes to gender.
Yeah, so like personally, I would prefer to have an open text box and people to self-describe, and then the CSO will work that out. But it's up to them about how best they can do it and measure it. There are kind of the main categories they're going to capture, but like there is a diversity of sexual orientation and gender expression, and that's important. It's a natural part of human life, as diverse as how tall we are or eye colour. We're diverse people, and I think it's important to measure that, capture that, and let people express their own identity and their own self in the census, I think, is going to be really important.
Yeah. Intersex people, are they taken into regard?
Interestingly,
here,
they haven't in this one. It was a call that I made and other people made that there should be a question on sex characteristics. The CSO has decided not to do that. I think that's regrettable. I do think we need to be fully inclusive of everybody. And I think there should be questions there about whether people are intersex. We've done very little work in this country on intersex. The National LGBTI Strategy had two intersex actions in it. Neither of them were completed by government. We haven't put in place a ban on unnecessary surgeries on intersex infants. We have a very long way to go in terms of the rights of intersex people in this country. And I think it's regrettable that CSO hasn't moved and has left intersex people behind in this one. It's not too late. Perhaps they can change.
Pork, thanks very much for coming into us today. That was Pork Rice there, Social Democrat TD for Cork South Central and health spokesperson for the Social Democrats.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.